Hello, London. We are ready for your vote.
Hi there, I'm Stephen Perkins, and this is Douzebois, the Eurovision-loving podcast from the team that brings you Binge Watch. And we were with you last week for a run-through of the songs in the first of this year's semi-finals. We were kind of hoping to do the whole thing. We had a few technical problems, so we had to put it on the back burner for a little while, but we are now back and ready to cover semi-final two, and also to have a little look at the songs that pre-qualified for the grand final as well. And with me, as always, is our amazing producer, Liam Heffernan. Liam, welcome.
Hey, Stephen. Do you know what? I feel like we've had no end of technical issues this week trying to do this blooming recap, but it might have worked in our favour considering the news this week.
Yeah, exactly. Shortly after we recorded our last podcast, we had the draw for the placings, or the reveal of the placings, I should say, for the semi-finals. So I think this would be a good moment to quickly revisit semi-final one and just mention the order in which everyone will be performing in that one. So we're going to start on the Tuesday. Cyprus opening the proceedings. That's Cilia Kapsis with Laia. Serbia on second, Teodora with Ramonda. Then third is one of the favourites, Lithuania, Sylvester Belt and Luktelk. Then fourth is Ireland, Bambi Thug with Doomsday Blue. And then there'll be a short break for a non-competitive performance, if you like. That's the United Kingdom's Showcase, Ollie Alexander with Dizzy. After that, Ukraine, Aliona, Aliona and Jerry Heil with Teresa and Maria are performing in the fifth official slot. Poland, possibly, I think, not a great slot here because they are between Ukraine and Croatia. Poland going on sixth. Luna with the Tower. Then, obviously, as I mentioned, Croatia, one of the other favourites in seventh position, Baby Lasagna, Urim Tim Tagidim. Then Iceland, Hera Björk, Scared of Heights, is on the eighth position. Again, I feel not a great placing for them to go on after one of the favourites. Then, again, a little break for a non-competitive performance from Germany. Isaac's always on the run. Position 9, Slovenia, Raven with Veronica. Position 10, Finland, Windows 95, Man with No Rules. Position 11, Moldova, Natalie Barbu with In the Middle. Then again, a break for Sweden's Marcus and Martinez with Unforgettable. Then position 12, Azerbaijan, Fari featuring Ilkin Dovlatov with Uzhnye Apa. 13th, Australia, Electric Fields, One Milk Alley, One Blood. And 14th, Portugal, Iolanda Grito. And then closing the day for us is Luxembourg, Tali and Fighter. So, I mean, we can have perhaps a little quick chat about these placings. As I said, I feel there are some people who have not drawn a particularly favourable position. I'm feeling quite concerned for Iceland and Poland with those placings. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tricky the earlier that you perform because you're just going to slip off the radar of people who, you know, it's a slog, isn't it, watching Eurovision? And by the time you get to the end of a night, it's very easy to forget quite mediocre early performances. But actually, Steve, I was going to ask you, you know, we've talked about the sort of changes to the voting that are going to take place in the final. Does that apply to the semi-finals as well, in that the lines open from the first song?
As I understand it, currently it doesn't. It's just the grand final that's happening in. But of course, we do have the fact that the semi-finals since last year have been televote only. So it is, you know, you've got nothing to rely on other than the people at home. There's no juries that can bolster you up. And I think this is where you really want, you know, not to be, you know, in the position of like Poland, where you are basically sandwiched between two of the big hitters, or Iceland, where you are literally right behind one of the kind of the big songs of the night. So yeah, and again, I think also perhaps, you know, Moldova not in a great position there because they're, I think, perhaps a little bit of a sort of lesser favourite this time around, and there between Finland, which is going to be a huge moment, and then Sweden, obviously the host nation. So yeah, I think obviously you can't please everyone with the draws. People are always going to get some disappointing placings in the running order. I feel like Ireland haven't got a great spot there either for when they probably would need a fairly good one. I think it's a good choice to have Cyprus opening, I think, because that's going to be in the same way that they opened the whole thing with Norway last year with Queen of Kings. Here we've got this huge kind of you know, big call to action, this nice, you know, sort of 90s flavoured dance floor number from Cyprus. That's going to hopefully get the whole event started nice up-tempo moment, get everyone up on their feet, and you know, then that kind of sets the tone for the whole week, I suppose.
Yeah, I agree. And I think semi-final one is potentially a better semi-final to be included on for that reason. I think you're setting the tone, and you've also got that little bit longer in those extra 2 days to really build the hype from your semi-final result through to the grand final. And particularly if you're a country like Croatia and Finland, I think that's going to really benefit.
Yeah, I suppose another way you can look at it as well is you've also got, if anything, perhaps you look at your performance on Tuesday and it didn't quite work, you've got a couple more days to refine your performance in your rehearsals. So,
yeah.
You know, anything like that, it's always perhaps good to be on earlier. And I feel like maybe there's that slightly more excitement on the Tuesday than there is, you know, Tuesday it's like, well, hey, it's Eurovision. And then like Thursday, it's like, okay, right, we've done this already once, and let's go for the second one. So there is that kind of, you know, I think there's a lot more momentum in the first one, but I suppose it just does depend a lot on the songs and the performances. So there's a lot still to play for, I think. Shall we move ahead and have a little look at semi-final two on the Thursday?
Yes, absolutely.
We are starting on Thursday with Malta. That is Sara Bonici and Loop. This one I have got down as kind of, you know, a borderline one. I think it could qualify, it could not. It sort of depends on a lot of other factors. I wouldn't sort of put money on this one making the grand final, but I don't think it's out of the running. So
going first probably doesn't work in its favour. But I agree.
I think there's a chance of this one getting forgotten by the end of the night, I think, is the problem. And Malta, their sort of qualification record has been a little bit patchy. And it's a fun song and it's an up-tempo song. I worry there's so many of those this year that it could get a little bit lost in the shuffle. So, but, you know, there's a lot to be said for opening. If you open the night well, people do tend to remember that. You know, I always think, you know, what you don't want to be is kind of on second or kind of, you know, sort of third, fourth. Those are the kind of slightly less glamorous positions. You'd rather be on first, on last, or kind of, you know, slightly second, the third quarter, shall we say, third to fourth quarter are the good spots to be in.
Absolutely.
It and also a lot. There
is famously, you know, the fact that nobody has ever won Eurovision by performing in second on the grand final. So if that tells you anything about kind of what sticks and what doesn't, that, I mean, that's a pretty damning stat.
Yeah, and that was also, for so many years, that was the one the UK went in, and I'm sure the two things are entirely unconnected. Obviously, we're still waiting to see whether we've drawn first half or second half for this year, but hopefully they won't stick us on second. speaking of second, on this night is Albania, which is Bessa with Titan. Another one that I think is kind of a long shot, perhaps. I like this one. I think perhaps the position it's in, it's going to struggle a little bit. I'm not really holding my breath for this one to do well, but it is a song that I do quite enjoy. And also, I think the other problem it's got is that it is right before Greece, Marina Sati with Zari, which, from everything I've been hearing, has been doing incredibly well in the run-up to the performance. I can't remember if it's been number one in Greece, or it's certainly hit like the top three, and which is quite unheard of for a Eurovision song in Greece. So it's really kind of come out the gates at a bit of a clip, and I think it's doing really well kind of internationally on Spotify. So yeah, I feel to be in second this year, you're going to be sort of lodged between the opening number and then Greece coming out all guns blazing kind of thing.
Yeah, and you know, I think Greece are probably ones to watch this year. I don't think that it has quite the sort of broad appeal that some of the other favourites have, but I think what I love about Greece is that their entry this year just feels really authentic. It's very Greek, and it's very them, you know, and I kind of get that. And I think that really epitomizes what Eurovision is about, and it's a good song as well. Whether that's enough to get people to vote for them is maybe another conversation, but I think they've got a really good entry this year.
Yeah, I think certainly in recent years, there's a point where everyone was kind of trying to be as kind of, you know, internationally relevant as possible. And I think in recent years, there's been slightly more of a lean back towards kind of what can we do that's uniquely us. And that's, I think, something that Greece have done really well this year. I will say I like that song a lot, but I listen to it on headphones. On headphones, I find it really, really overwhelming. So I think it's maybe better listened to on some nice surround speakers, perhaps. then, of course, another one straight after Greece in fourth position, another one that's tipped to do hugely well, Switzerland, Nemo and The Code. This one, I gather he's just done a huge live performance on Swiss television, which has gone down incredibly well. So any, I think, concerns about this song, whether he was going to be able to pull it off live, are quickly being put to bed. This one, I think, absolute lock-on for the final, I should think, and I think certainly quite a contender for the win when it gets there.
Excuse me. Thought I'd clear my throat before I start my bit there. I think Switzerland, you have to say, are going to be up there in the final, and it should be a pretty pretty easy road to qualify from the semi-final for them. I think the song is good, and it's one of those though where I think the staging is going to kind of make or break how well it does on the night. And I mean, I guess we could say that about a lot of songs, but it just feels like particularly this song. May Muller last year for the UK, you know, the song itself was quite catchy, but it just shows you the impacts that a not quite perfect live performance and some pretty mediocre staging can have on the overall sort of points tally. And that, I think Switzerland could potentially suffer the same fate. If they nail the staging, they are a contender for sure.
Yeah, I think it needs to be a spectacle, doesn't it, this one? But I'm reasonably confident that they know exactly what they're doing with this one, and I think they're going to have a moment with it. Now after them is Czechia, that's Aiko with Pedestal. This one again, I don't have it as a particularly strong contender for qualification. I think this one might just be on the outside. I think it's got like a, I love the kind of the hook that it's got in the chorus, but I don't know if it's going to be enough this time.
Yeah, I think they're there. Fair dues to them.
Exactly. We've got the problem this year. I think there's a lot of songs that in a less strong year would have done pretty well, and they've just had the bad luck to be drawn on the year where the competition, I think, is going to be very, very tough. And I think that's kind of where Czechia are this year. I think, if it was a ballad heavy year, this would have probably sailed through to the finals, but as it is, I think it's going to be sort of clawing it out with some much bigger hitters, and it's not quite going to be able to make its own pace. I'd love to be proved wrong about that. I'd love to see it sneak through, but I'm not convinced it's going to happen for them. Now moving on, after that we have our break again for the pre-qualifiers. France are on at this point, and that's Slimane with Mon Amour. Now this one, I think, is kind of one to watch on Saturday night, because I think it's got a very, very good chance of absolutely cleaning up with the juries, because it's very kind of straightforward. It's very heartfelt, big sort of sweeping ballad. He is an amazing live performer. His vocals are incredible. So I think they could absolutely sweep up the jury votes, and with the right performance could potentially, do well enough in the televote to put themselves right in contention.
Yeah, the big five tend to have very mixed fortunes at Eurovision, but France have always managed to perform fairly average, even on a difficult year. So I think with a good song like this and a great performance, you got to say they should probably have a top 10, if not, maybe shoot for a top 5 finish if everything goes their way.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if they're necessarily going to be in with the chance of taking the absolute kind of top spot, but I think, the one thing you've got to remember about France is the last few years they've been absolutely clearing up at Junior Eurovision. So if they can bring a little bit of that energy into the main contest, and with a song like this, I think that's what they're doing. They're really playing to their strengths as a country. This is what France do really, really well. So I'm hoping that they will be kind of justly rewarded for that on the night. Mm-hmm. And then I think I've said this before on Twitter, but what I'm absolutely looking forward to more than anything else is the entire mood whiplash we're going to get at this moment, going from France's heartfelt ballad into some rave from Austria. That's Carlin's We Will Rave. I've got this one down. I think this one is pretty strong chance of getting through. I'm not overly worried about this one's chance of qualifying, because I think it's going to just really kind of take the roof off the arena on the night, and I think no one's really doing what Austria are doing this year, so hopefully that's going to make them stand out.
That's true, actually, yeah, and I think that might work in their favour a lot. I think it's a really enjoyable song. It's got a real kind of dance pop vibe to it, and I really like it. My worry is that, as we've sort of touched on before, it is a really strong year, and any other year I'd say it's going to be one of the favourites, because it's going to be one of those that I just think will get people up on their feet in the arena, and I think the atmosphere is going to be amazing. I don't see how it breaks through in the final. Like, it won't have any difficulty qualifying for the final, but I just don't see how it's then going to stand out.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I'm sure getting to the final, I'm not particularly worried about for them. I don't necessarily know it's going to, you know, be a contender once it gets there, but I think now we've got this new system where it's televote only in the semi-finals. You kind of do a bit of a gamble sometimes. Do you want to lay all your eggs in the qualifying basket with the possibility that the juries aren't really going to be that supportive when you get to the final? That may be, I think, where Austria are. They're going to, you know, I think do quite well in the televote on Thursday night. They may possibly get, you know, less support when they've got stronger competition on Saturday, and then perhaps a bit less love from the juries as well. So there might not be a particularly strong result for them on the actual final leaderboard, but I think they're a fairly safe bet to actually get through to the final in the first place. I'm not sure I can say the same thing, sadly, for Denmark, who are in position 7. That's Saba with Sand. Again, yeah, I feel like I say this for every single song. I really like this one, but when I first heard it, I was like, yeah, I think they're in with a good chance this year. But that was obviously a point when we didn't have as many of the songs confirmed, and as the kind of the fields become more populated, I've started to look at this semi-final and think actually their chances of qualifying are, you know, looking less and less hopeful. I've got them kind of borderline. I think, you know, depending on the performance on the night, if it's a strong vocal, they're in a okay, they're kind of halfway. Mm. You know, they're in a sort of decent position, not a great one, but decent. I think that's almost their problem across the board this year. I think everything about them is decent, not great. It's a good performer, a good song. Is it enough? I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. And I think they'll sneak through. I think Denmark typically do quite well. You know, they put out a pretty reliable standard year on year, and I don't think this is any different. So I'm hopeful that they'll sneak into the final. I it's just not their year, you know. But, you know, they're not going to be the song that you go and make a cup of tea during, that's for sure.
Yes, I think that's a good point. I mean, they've had a little bit of a disappointing run the last few years. I think they've not qualified since 2019. But, you know, they've put a good effort in. And I think it's a lot of the time it just comes down to the field of competition that they're up against. Yeah. So I'd love to see them creak through this year. I think, you know, they're due. But whether it's going to happen for them remains to be seen, I think.
I can't believe it's as long ago as 2019.
I know. There've been a few, you know, I really liked their entry in 2021, Fear of Flam, but it was kind of a little bit Marmite-y, so I can see why it didn't quite scrape through.
Yeah.
And then we're on after that to Armenia, Ladaniva with Jaco. I love this one. This one is just really kind of good vibes to me, really fun, really playful. And I think it's got a lot to recommend it. My concern again, it's a crowded field. I'd love this one to get through. I really, really want this one to get through. But there's so many big hitters in this semi that I think it might have a little bit of a battle on its hands, but I'm really, really rooting for this one.
Yeah, I think we're going to sound a bit like a broken record this year, because there's so many songs like Armenia that are just, they're strong, and they would be contenders any other year, but it we are faced with such a strong competition this year. And yeah, it's just, it's going to be one of those that I think we'll look back on and wonder why it didn't do better.
Potentially, yeah.
It's just that sort of year.
I think that, you know, the slot that they're in is a reasonably good one, so I'm hoping that's going to play in their favour. I've got everything crossed for Armenia this year because I absolutely love this song. I'm going to just hope and rely on the rest of Europe to vote this one through. Mm. One I think I'm not holding out a lot of hope for is Latvia. They're on afterwards, position 9. That's Dons with Hollow. This one, I think, is just... It sort of feels like it's, to me, slightly misreading the mood of the contest this year, because this one's quite serious and quite, you know, quite sort of ballady. It's incredibly well sung, from what I've seen of the performances so far, but I worry in a televote-only semi with a lot of really, you know, sort of attention-grabbing up-tempo songs, if it might get a little bit lost. It's possible that the fact that it isn't an up-tempo song might be what makes it stand out, but watching the performance, I've nothing about it screams qualifier to me.
Yeah, I mean, as two people from the UK, I don't think we should judge too much on a country that can't quite read the room. But I think it's going to struggle, isn't it? Definitely.
I mean, I've seen a lot of the Eurovision fans who really like this one and are really rooting for it, so it's possible that there is going to be this kind of sort of grassroots, let's get this one through. When I make these predictions, they're based on nothing other than personal vibes. I'm not going to sit here and say this one's definitely getting through, this one definitely isn't. But I think this one is the one that I've not got a lot of hope for. Mm. After Latvia, we are having a little break again. Spain, that is Nebulosa with Zora. Song that's kind of had a lot of pre-contest attention. Not all of it positive. I think this one's a lot of fun. Obviously, they're pre-qualified for the final. I think they will probably get a reasonable amount of televote support. Not quite sure about the juries for this one. This one, I think, could be really, really entertaining and could it'll be really, really fun to see this in the semis, kind of see how it lands. And I think once we've kind of seen how it plays in the room, we'll have a much better idea of what we can expect from it on Saturday, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just adds a really interesting dynamic anyway, that we're going to now see a kind of televised live performance of the Big Five in the semi-finals. Will it massively change the result that they're going to have on the grand final? Probably not, but it might actually sway the televotes, you know, maybe a little bit one way or the other. Just having that opportunity to see a proper performance within the context of, you know, the semi-final as well. I'm really interested to see how that kind of plays out and maybe affects the sort of the televotes.
Definitely. Then after there, we're on to San Marino. That is Megara with 11-11. This one I've got, unfortunately, down as another one of the long shots. I mean, San Marino, bless them. they're always the fighting an uphill battle at Eurovision. And I don't think this one is going to do it for them. Again, I know, like you say, we sound like a broken record. It's a very, very strong year, and I just don't think this one is going to have the oomph to get over the line.
Hmm. I mean, London has about 10 times more people than the entire country of San Marino, so fair dues to them for just fielding a decent entry and appearing at Eurovision in the first place, to be honest. But yeah, it's one year San Marino will break through, but it's not this year. But it's coming. I think they're in that process of sort of figuring out how to kind of break through and stand out in the crowd, and you know, they just haven't found that yet.
I mean, you can't fault them for the amount of effort they put into their selection process, because I think they put more songs in than most other countries put together. Mm. Unfortunately, it hasn't had a great track record of the actual contest for them. They've only made the final 3 times, I believe. I don't get me wrong, I always root for them. I love they're the little microstate that could in my heart. And I always want to see them do well, but this year I'm not seeing it for them, unfortunately. Mm. Now up in position 11, Georgia, that is Nutsa Buzaladze with firefighter. This one I really like. I think this one's a lot of fun. I've got this one again, kind of borderline. I think it's probably going to sneak through, but I don't think it's a dead cert by any means, because I think it's probably not doing anything that, you know, other countries aren't doing better. That I think might be the problem for them. I would say it's obviously, I appreciate they're in very separate semi-finals. It's sort of on the same path that Cyprus are on, and I think Cyprus are doing this song better. So, if they do get through to the final, then I think that's probably going to be where they come a bit unstuck. But I'm not ruling it out, them making it through.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those, isn't it? It might qualify, it might not, but I mean, they're going to be just a spot filler in the final if they do make it through, without wanting to sound too harsh to them.
No, I think that's fair. I don't think anyone's kind of thinking that Georgia are on course for the victory this year. But it's a strong effort from them. Don't get me wrong. I think they've really putting on a good show with this one. And if they don't get through, then I don't think it will be anything they did wrong. They'll just have been unlucky, I think.
Yeah.
In position 12, Belgium, Musty, Before the Party's Over. This one, I've got to say, has been just doing a loop in my head most of this week. I don't know why this song above all others, but there's something about the chorus of this one that just really gets into your ears and just doesn't leave. So I've got no concerns at all about them qualifying for the final and potentially, you know, being a bit of a contender when they get there.
Yeah, I mean, they'll definitely get through. I mean, egg will be on our faces if they don't now, but it should. I think there's really good pacing to the song. I think it builds really nicely. I think it's got all the elements there. I'm not quite getting it in the same way that you are. It's not sticking in my head, you know, in that way. But it's a great song. It's going to pick up a lot of votes. It's going to do well. It probably won't win, but we'll see it in the final.
Yeah, I think Belgium, one of those countries that you know, their track record is a little bit patchy, but when they're on it, they're on it. And I think this year they are very much on it. They do quite sort of moody pop really well. And this is, like I said with France, maybe this is them focusing on an area that's really strong for them. So I think that they should do very well.
Yeah.
Position 13, unlucky for some, but probably not unlucky for Estonia. Vis Minust times Pulup. With a song that I can never pronounce. I'm going to do my best again one more time. Nendest narkutikumidest eti me kulmidagi, which is something to do with not knowing about what these drugs can do. I don't speak Estonian, I can only apologise. This one, you know, this is a lock for the final. I think in an entirely televote semi-final, this one is absolutely like on course to get there with absolutely no problems.
Yeah, definitely. Although I can't quite shake off the fact that those first few bars remind me of 500 Miles.
But
it's a catchy song, and it's actually, I think it's going to play really, really well to the crowd, kind of like Austria, really. It's going to get everyone up. And I mean, it's all about the placement in the grand final kind of schedule, really, as to how well they do overall. But it's a sure thing for the final.
Yeah, I think what they've done quite cleverly here, this is a song that I think plays very well to the kind of the casual Eurovision voters who kind of, you know, don't particularly listen to the songs beforehand, just tune in on the night and, you know, hear them for the first time. And I think the people hearing this for the first time are going to be like, wow. So that's going to really leave an impact. So fair play to them. In the next spot, this is where Italy are having their preview, Angelina Mango, La Noia. This one, I can't remember if I said this on the podcast before, I probably have. This is, I think, at this point, my bet for the win, because I think it's got a very good chance of that sweet crossover between the juries and the televoters at home. Another one that I think has just been absolutely lodged in my brain since I first heard it. It's incredibly catchy. I've been trying to learn the lyrics so I can sing along with not a lot of success, it has to be said. My Italian is not great. But yeah, I mean, it's always great to see Italy at Eurovision these years, because I think they're very, very strong contenders. The fact that they have, you know, their entire, you know, Sanremo festival beforehand is a whole beast of its own. So they by the time you get to the top of that, you know, you know what you're doing. And I think this is an example of them just being very, very on form.
Yeah, I mean, I agree completely. they're going to do well. I think this will be a good showcase for them for the final. And they, yeah, I mean, if they don't finish top half, I'll be very, very, very surprised in the grand final.
Yeah. What I'm actually really excited about this year is I feel like last year we kind of went into it thinking, you know, it was Sweden's to lose. This year, I feel like it could go any number of ways. So although I've kind of got my money, you know, on Italy, I really admit my history of betting who's going to win Eurovision has not been very successful, so I probably could be wrong about this. But yeah, you know, I feel like, you know, we've got Belgium, we've got Netherlands, we've got Italy, we've got Switzerland, you know, we've got France, we've got Croatia, all these countries that I think, you know, if the circumstances are in their favour, they could win it. And, you know, any number of things could happen on, you know, in the run-up. So it just feels like a much more of an open field this year, and I find that really exciting.
Yeah, it's definitely a really hard one to call. There's not a runaway favourite at all, and I think the semi-finals is really going to be a chance for the favourites to make their mark in a way that maybe they didn't need to in previous years. Like, Loreen didn't really have to worry too much about that impact, you know, making that statement in the semis, but, you know, countries really do this year. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they come out the blocks and sort of putting themselves out there in the semi-final week.
14th position is Israel. That's Eden Golan with Hurricane. And in accordance with our previously stated policy, we won't be discussing that one further. So we're going to move straight on to position 15. That is Norway, Godda and Ulverham. And I feel this one's a little bit, that's divided us slightly, hasn't it? Because I love this one. I don't think you're as keen. Am I right in that?
Yeah, it's just not for me. I get why it's going to do really well, but it's just not for me, I'm afraid. But it's going to do really well. It'll get to the final. But yeah. I think you have a very different opinion though.
I think it's incredibly, if assuming they're going to do something very similar to their national final performance, I think it's incredibly impactful what they do on the stage. I think the live vocals will be stunning. I just love that this is quite different. It's sort of alt folk rock kind of, you know, again, I don't feel anyone else is kind of doing that this year. So I think they're kind of, a certain section of the audience is going to just go, right, that's my winner, and vote for that one. I don't think sadly it's in with the chance of the actual win, but I do think they've played it quite cleverly in sort of covering some ground that's not being well served elsewhere. I think, you know, they've got the goth vote locked up, hopefully, however strong that will prove to be on the night.
Yeah, I completely agree. And my toddler, I can hear, is having some very strong opinions in the background about this, which means I'm probably going to have to wrap this up very soon, which is a shame, because I could talk about Netherlands like all day. But yeah, we are approaching deadlock with my toddler right now.
No worries. Should we do Netherlands very, very quickly? This one, I think, is again another lock for the final. I think a very strong contender for the win. I've got to say, I'm not really feeling it, but I'm very much an outlier on this one, I think.
Yeah, I think we're kind of gonna, same with Norway, really, but just the other way around. You know, I think this could be like the anthem of the year, potentially. I really like it. I think it's a very Eurovision song. And another year it would be right up there. I don't think it's going to win, but I do really love it.
I think a lot of the corners of the fans are really behind this one, so I think, again, right circumstances, it could win, but there's so much that's sort of still to be decided at this point, so it could go any way at all. So yeah, that I think brings us pretty much to the end, so we will wrap up there. Thank you to producer Liam for joining me for this chat. Always a pleasure to have you.
And, yeah, no problem.
Thank you to everyone for listening. Reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at bingewatch_pod, and please do hit subscribe on your podcast platform to make sure you don't miss our upcoming episodes. And until next time, good night Europe and good morning Australia.